You can tell them that those upstairs are distinguished yet, that they have certain issues. So this is obviously a major program. I want to thank our attender and the show as always for their warmth and hospitality in hosting the program. It is always a pleasure and a privilege to introduce our Rejector. Rejector's objective scholarship, as the attender has mentioned, doesn't need my introduction. I think it's fair to say that that he's recognized as one of the leading poets in the non-Orthodox community, and his books are works of record on any number of halakhic issues, and highly recommended. Grey Matters 1 and 2 available over there. Grey Matters 3 coming out soon. My own association with Rejector goes back now some 16 years to the Yad and David Midrash. It's an old and dear friendship, including the Rejector was among the Sefer Kedushin at my wedding. What I want to say tonight, and this is related to the mission of the Center for Monitor Leadership, is that Rejector is a wonderful example of stuff that is driven by values but not ideology. And that Rejector's Bashim, as he mentioned, and made explicit in Shurim both to the Narada Midrash and to other programs of the center, is that Tzach is always informed by the values that our community holds dear, the which is Zionism, the intrinsic fellow Latino human beings, the necessity to end injustice against women in our community. All those issues are reflected and drive the Tzach, but never determined. Ultimately, halakha is a function of what halakha says. You have a thought which is driven by ideology, but driven by values, but not by ideology. And that is what the non-Orthodox community desperately needs. So it's my pleasure on this issue, which we very much hope will become an issue of pure halakha as opposed to an issue of ideology. The question of Shabbat Mudavim, but which also reflects one's notion of what a Yom Tov should be, and raises the question of what halakhic discourse should be like. It is a pleasure and a privilege once again to show this great message.
Thank you, Rabbi Sender. Thank you, Rabbi Clapper, for such a wonderful introduction. Too bad my wife wasn't here. She would have enjoyed it to hear it. Hopefully for her a tape, and then she'll get a lot of knock-ups. We have it on tape. Okay, good. Thanks everyone for coming out on a hot summer night, and hopefully we'll make it worth your time. We'll get a great, very interesting topic. Does everybody have a handout? Everybody has a handout? Okay, should have an outline. You don't have one? No? Do we have an extra handout to make sure that
we can make one?
We can make? Okay. Okay. Oh, there we go. A noble soul. Okay. 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 This story is about the Sat Mote oven. And I should really say right at the beginning that all I'm saying, I'm addressing this theoretically. So I send her the Mora to Astra. Your question is addressed to him. But I think we're on the same page on this issue. We spoke a little bit before Mincha. So it turns out we're on the same page. But this this whole issue really starts, you have to go back to 1932. What momentous event happened in 1932? Well, I think it's around 1932. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one of the great poskim of all time, had just gotten married. And for his wedding present, one of his wife's relatives from America sent Rosh Shlomo Zalman a refrigerator. And that was a big thing. 1932, Yerushalayim, or refrigerator, he was the first one in his neighborhood, first one in his neighborhood with a refrigerator. And it became a whole big deal in the neighborhood, how he his wife would let everybody store their stuff in the refrigerator, and it was all packed with the gills, and everyone was a big, big thing. But from Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's perspective, it wasn't just a source of chesed, but it sparked his interest. And oh, by the way, I have to be very careful. I promised myself when I gave this year, I'm going to try to limit the puns. You know, I'm not going to say this is a hot topic. I'm not going to say let's get cooking. I'm going to try not to do that as best as I can. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach got this. What about Shabbos? What's the deal? We turn. We opens up the door to the cabin of the refrigerator. The motor goes on. What do we do about Shabbos? So this was in Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach sparked a tremendous interest in the topic of electricity. When is it mutter, not mutter? It sparked an interest into science and halacha in general. In fact, the story is told that I think it was once a week that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a chavrusa with I think it was Professor Lev, you know, the founder of Mahon Lev in Yerushalayim, and the deal was as follows. 80% of the time, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach taught Torah to Professor Lev. The other 20% of the time was that Professor Lev taught physics to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So he took a really keen interest in the science as well as the halacha, of course, of electricity and Shabbos and Yom Tov. So before we start discussing 2008 about the Starkey certifications, the Sabbath mode ovens, what we need to do is to take a grand tour of the issue of electricity on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And we're going to summarize, can't talk about everything in this issue, there's a lot to talk about, but we can at least do four major topics. And then we can start with that little bit of background. Then we can start launching into the issue of the Star K of it. Okay, let's start off with number one. Thomas Edison, I don't mean it was Thomas Edison, but I'm from New Jersey. It's hard to say it's Thomas Edison. So Thomas Edison developed the incandescent bulb. And my goodness, Rav Hanan said, what do we do with this? Is it mutter on Shabbos? Not mutter on Shabbos? And this really, there was some confusion. Because there was like, well, there was one rub that said, well, it's like a snack, right? A snack in a car. It's not what happens. There's a fire here, but there's no fuel combustion. You know, do we call it a fire? Do we not call it a fire? But pretty soon, a consensus emerged already in the early 20th century that turning on a light where there would be a heated, where our electricity in general, wherever there's a heated filament, such as an incandescent bulb, that is an Isidore right. So that is a Torah prohibition. Where do they get this from? They get it from a lot of places, but just to be short, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Shabbos, I summarize it for you in A1, that he speaks about tempering metal. Tempering metal, which basically, in order to strengthen metal, you heat it up and you cool it down. I remember one time in school, right after we finished Yeshiva, I teach at CABC in Vernon County, and we were right by a train track. All of a sudden, I was walking by the train track, and there was a whole train that was covered with one piece of fire, and was heating up the track, and the next thing was cooling it down with water. So I thought, and I just wondered about that.
Hebrew. That's for example, the blood about doesn't come out of that same shoe. But quickly, he yelled to the guy, and then announced in the lobby. Everyone, quick, come to the train track. You have to see his shoe. The temperature, we were almost speaking about that heating metal till it's closed, and then not cooling it off immediately, that is an act of Havara. We see that heating now how does it solve our snap problem? Right? Why is that such an important precedent that heating metal in the process of tempering, that is the Havara, that's a fire. Why is that so important? Because there's no what? Even though there's no fuel combustion, no flame, right? It's still, the heat of metal is hot. So the glow, that is considered to be Havara. Right? So when you... The quencher, yeah, the quencher is part of the tempering process. Okay. In the process of tempering, if you want to know how to temper metal, you have to write, you have to close your eyes. If you want to capture the
result,
right, you have to write back. You want to capture the result right away. So that's the process of tempering. The bottom line is, when you're heating, it's not the cooling down is what creates the name for the water of our heart. When you heat it up really hot, you make that impact, then you make that change in the metal, that's when you're violating the heart. Definitely, you're asking well, maybe not, if you're not tempering the normal way. But if the normal way of heating up that metal is turning on the incandescent bulb, great, you violated Havara. Right? Well, okay, that's bad. Okay, all right, you violated Havara. Don't do that. Okay, all right. You do it during the week. Okay. All right, now, just to get across the point, we have, I quoted here a number of the early 20th century posts, at least the Malam of the Hall, Rosetta Stein Hoffman, and the Chubas Achiezer, the Achiezer of Mikhail Moses Brzezinski. This was one of the great posts of all time. He was the preeminent post in Eastern Europe before his death in 1939. And in fact, what he used to do, Rav Soloveitchik reports, and a lot of people tell the story that they were at his house, you were at Mikhail Moses' house, so how do you make Abdallah? He specifically made Abdallah, right, using electricity. Why? Because he wants to use the thing that doesn't bulb. Be careful about that. Anything that doesn't bulb, why? Because he wants to show that it's fire, right? If you use Abdallah, where are my eggs? Right, because some people, we said, were confused a little bit, and you want to make it absolutely clear, you can throw the phone home. Now, the only thing I would say, don't do this at home. Why not do this at all? So the alarm requires that the metal to be clear. So if you have most of the incandescent bulbs today are frosted. So the incandescent bulb that's not frosted, you're okay. But otherwise, most of the lights are frosted, so you probably can't use them for outdoors. In any case, speak to the defender, I not be one of the Asher. Okay. Alright, so that's pretty simple, that's pretty clear. The next point is that, though, is what happens when you have electricity and there's no heated filament. Well, what do we say about that? And in fact, as time moves on, there's more and more electricity without heated filaments. Right? What give me some examples where there's electricity with no heated filaments?
By a motor.
Okay, a motor. Okay, right. The metal doesn't get glowing hot. Okay.
Fluorescent.
There you go. Right. Correct. No heated filament there. The gas that's excited.
Does it
get heated? Okay, good.
It's starting a process.
But does it get hot till it glows?
Yes.
Till it glows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Really?
Yes, it glows enough to heat the mercury that's inside.
Okay.
The mercury gas gives ultraviolet radiation, which is the phosphor on the atom.
Okay, I think most of our buttons say no, but I think that the way I already sent you up to light up the
LEDs.
LEDs. Okay, nice and simple. We'll stay away from fluorescence for tonight. Okay, but we're looking for, again, heated filament that's heated up till it glows. That's Mr. Doe, right? So if you don't have a metal that's heated till it glows, well, what is that? So different Rabbanim have given names for this. We call this a riddle. We call it an enigma. You know, we know that we shouldn't do it, but we quite haven't figured out why. So So, yes, go ahead. Well, that's going to be wonderful. We're going to present four different options until we see what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had to say. And as we mentioned, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has emerged to be the consensus opinion on this matter. He spent a lot of time on not only the halacha, his expertise, of course, in Hilchos Shabbos, but also on the science. Okay, so let's start, let's go historically, some of the ideas that have been put forth. What's the problem with electricity when there's no heat is thrown in? The first shot was the Shas and Shuvah Beit Yitzchak. Anybody here at Luciana? I'm with Luciana. No, anybody? You went to, all right. Oh, here we go. I don't know why he's such a good person. Okay. So now, but my father always said it. Luciana then. Okay, anyhow. So Rabbi Beit Yitzchak, he's one of the great Luciana Poskim, and he felt that the heating a, turning on electricity, powering a appliance, that what you're doing there is you're violating an issa drabana, a rabbinic prohibition. Where did he get it from? He looks in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Zayin on Chachyom and Aleph, they have it there on the sheet for you, that you're not allowed to be molded rea. In other words, let's say somebody wants to come to school and they want to close down night, right? So what they do is, I guess especially in time when laundry was a problem, you've heard about laundry and that night you can so hard, let's say when your laundry wasn't so good, if you want to smell your clothes to smell a little bit better, if you put a little perfume on the clothes, right? So that, the Gemara says, is more of a rea, so you could drop on that to do on Yom Tov or Shabbos. There's the taste of yourself in a dramatic move. He says that someone who is Molid, Zeran Chashmali, he doesn't use it, it's Kalugi, he's not using Chashmali, he's using electricity, you know, some Yiddish phrase there. But he says, someone who is Molid, Zeran Chashmali, someone who is, right, you create a current flow that powers, that powers an appliance, right, he says that is analogous to Molid Ram. What's the problem?
He doesn't understand
what
he should be.
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead. What's the problem? Well, maybe it's, maybe I'm not presenting it right. Okay, yeah.
Electrons do not travel from where they are unless you're in a battery of some other condition. It actually just goes and the effect. It bounces from electrons.
Right.
It's not a string. It's like you have a bunch of balls. You hit one ball and the effect moves from one to the other and then so on.
Right.
Yeah, there actually is no electric or electrons flowing in normal electricity.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying, okay, but I understand. The mole is down personally, I understand. Okay. Let me try to refine what the way I understand the basis of this thing. He's not focusing on the Zeram Chashmiyam on the current flow. That's not the issue per se. What the issue per se is that you are now powering an item. You've created a, you've powered an item. You brought a, you brought an item to life. Okay? That is, you have this, here, just like the Gemara says, you created something new. Rashi says the Gemara. There's now a sentence, this beg is a sentence, now you turn on, you power this appliance, electric shaver, I don't know, this is an example, now it's a functioning item, so you have created something new. That's something new, that mole is there, that mole is there, and we'll call it for now, is an Mrs. Rabbana. Okay, so claim the thousand shows they differ. Where someone's on an off said not so fast. Not because of your criticism, but his criticism was as follows. Here's two basic criticisms of this. Anyone think about a lot of criticism perhaps? What might be the problem with this? Okay. So I'll answer one. What's that? Okay, well, you're paired with this appliance. We're not focusing on the electricity, we're focusing on the appliance. The appliance now is powered. You powered the appliance. Okay? Yeah, go ahead.
The appliance is made to turn on the
off. Right. Right, exactly. In other words, this one thing is if you're putting a, you take a set, you set up a clothes, right? That's a drop on. It looks like you're creating something new. But that's not made to be, you put in the same, you move the same group. But you turn, an appliance is made to be turned on, turned off, turned on, turned off. Argue the showers and sewers, they forgive cover of smell, because he says, argue the smell, because that's not at all analogous to Moses' wrath, to creating this wrath in the baguette, right? To create a scented baguette. Another point that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says is that not every case of Moses is considered to be possible. What are the basis of doing? He is expanding this Issur Rabbanan of bemoaning grass and bag, and he says you can't bemoan anything on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And we know we've seen a number of cases in the Gemara. Here's one little example. The Gemara talks about in Shabbos that certain fruits at home, and how sweet you allow to squeeze from the Jews on Shabbos. Now, but aren't you creating something new? You have a Jew that's created? So we see from this and many other examples, from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out, that you don't have this broad prohibition of molded on Yom Tov or Shabbos, only that which the rabbis forbade, only which Chazal that declared us there, as thus we can't expand beyond that. Yes? Molded, you are creating here. Let's focus on the result. Not that you're creating a scented baguette. Right? Rashi says it looks like you're creating something new. It appears like a malacha, therefore the rabbis forbade it. I'm sorry? Okay?
So the rationale of molded serum prevents you from opening a faucet and creating a stream of water.
That's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said. That's his argument, right? He tells us that there's no difference. That's correct. Exactly what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach makes that argument. Okay, now, the Shabbos and Shuvos Malama Bahola, Rav Tovitz Miyafen, he takes a from Germany. He takes a shot at it. What he says, he points out, look at the Mishnah, as Beis Yosef said, that we're not allowed to create sparks on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's also a rabbinic prohibition. Right? But arcs of this, and so too, when you complete a circuit, sometimes you see it, you'll see that there are sparks that are created. And in fact, that's what Rahman points out, that the sparks, that's the refrigerator, sparks are the big problem. Alright, first of all, the Zalman Auerbach points out that that's not so simple either. Why? Yeah, you want to say it? Yeah. Did you have your hand up? What? Yes.
I didn't have my hands up, but
there's lots of cases
and like
busy with a rhino. Okay, good. Finally, I anticipated a comment. Okay, the encyclopedia Talmudic pointed out that these sparks are often not visible to the naked eye. And halacha only recognizes that which we can see. I'm going to try to prove to you. I'm going to prove to you because right here in the middle of the store, I'm going to eat something trick. You know what I mean? Full of microbes in the air that didn't have a split off and didn't see the sun, right? So why was that allowed? Why did I just do that? Because? Being right. That's right. The halakha only has a significance to that which you can see. If it's sub-macroscopic or microscopic, the halakha does not take cognizance of it. So the encyclopedia pointed out that these sparks are often not visible, depends on voltage and humidity, as we have written down. My mother said, ladies first, I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, okay, yeah. So some of our buttons talked about that. Rav Yosef, Rav Aldenberg. So there, the spark, right. Right. So the spark, the static electricity is, first of all, not inevitable, but also this is that it's not lasting, and it's a kayama, it's something you don't want. But the truth is, as Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, that's the same thing with these sparks. Right, now these sparks that are created when you complete a circuit. And by the way, the way I understand, from my layperson's understanding of the electricity, what happens? One of the sparks, right, is because as the circuit near being completion, the electrons are so excited to complete the circuit, they jump in the spark and you see those sparks, right? That's what my understanding of it. But this will, but this is something that is lo nichole. It's makalkel. It's something you're not interested in. It involves not the edges of the contact points of the spark. It's not something that it's only a writ of dinin prohibition in the first place. And considering that it's not something you're interested in, it's makalkel. It's not the usual way of making sparks. You put this all together, Shlomo Zalman said, I don't think sparks is really much of the problem.
And obviously you're not interested in it, but with a lot of digital electronics, modern stuff that's there are no sparks in the
sparkless. Right.
You cook it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
That's a question for the most of the time. For example,
it is considered. All right, let's go. We're getting there. Okay. By the way, how long do I have to? Oh no! All right, we'll be here till 2 in the morning. Okay, when do I have to go over time?
10:30.
10:30.
The people start leaving 1 at 3.
Okay, I don't want to do that to anybody. My mother always used to say, she used to play corner a lot. She used to say, don't go to stay welcome, and you won't be welcome to stay over. All right. Let's go to number three. Let's see some other ideas. Now, the Chazanish. Brilliant Gaon, right? Started out in Vilna, right? Moved to Bnei Brak. Like, Chazanish also is known for singing out of the box. So I always thought interesting approaches to Chazanish. The Rav Mishnah was about. He pointed out, he came up with this idea, I think it was in the 1930s, that when you're completing a circuit, that it's Buddhist. This building. I don't know. First of all, understand, building doesn't mean, building an Empire State Building. Building can be even putting together little twines. That could be bone. Right? You kind of mock the process. Right? You're complete. Right? You're completing something. You have it deployed. It says, oh, it's complete. It just needs to circuit to be completed. Oh, that's you completed. So you suggest the bone or mock the process. But if you can imagine, let me just give you an example of why it might be a problem. Why I don't say this one is not going to be a problem. But I might give you an example of why I'm actually going to destroy a wall right now. Right now I'm going to destroy a wall. Why don't you do it? And just destroy it. And just build one right back. Now, why did I look on top? Why am I allowed to open the door and cry? Why is opening the door not soft? I'm destroying the wall, and then I'm closing. I'm building it again, right? Why is that? Why is that not considered to be bona and soft there? Anybody else want to give an answer? Okay. What's that? Oh, it's a function. Okay. That's responsive. It's used?
Creating a little hole.
Right. Right, there you go. Right. Okay, good. That's its usage, right? Okay. And also, something that is made to be open and closed, right, that's not considered to be bona, right? Wouldn't be makropatish, right? Since the Chazanish cites the ruling of the Chai Adam, of a new thing of the Chai Adam in the 19th century, that's the what, right? And watch is, right? Many of us still remember when you had a wand to watch, right? If you wand to watch, the Chai Adam says that's keeping money, right? That's makropatish. That's the last blow, that final blow. You complete that watch, all ready to go, all of a sudden, you just have to watch it, you have to wind it, let it go, and now it's working.
Does it matter if the watch was stopped and you wind it up and it starts, or if it's, already running?
Yeah, there's definitely distinction of made, but if it stopped, the Chai Adam says, it's a micro passage. And that means the Chazanish says, you're completing a circuit, you're powering appliance, even though he's building, that is bonus. That is bonus. And well, what's the problem? What do you think of that analogy to the watch? To winding the watch? Anybody? On winding the watch, what would you prefer in the old days when you used to wind the watch, right? In fact, you don't have to wind the watch anymore because we just like the watch that's going, right? But as opposed to the electric current, it's made to be opened and closed. The Chazim said, no, you only close it because you want to save money. Right? You're running to go the whole time, you know, but all right. Interesting, I'm sorry.
What about the watches? That's the one that is worked by your merchant of your hand.
Right. Okay. Interesting issue. That may be an aspect. You're involved in something else.
I suppose
money. Well, I didn't say I want to be honest. I sometimes monetize. Yeah, all my best friends are monetize. Okay. Okay. Now we're getting there. We're gonna. Well, I don't know about tonight about me. All right. Well, another night. Another speech I would have been making. Okay. All right. In any case, well, I'm giving away the end. All right. Let's get moving on here. Okay. So we have here, we're really struggling to figure out why is electricity with no heated filament? What's the problem with it? We kind of sense that it's other. Why? We kind of can't get a handle on it. Rishlomo Zamenhof comes to the following two conclusions. He says, first of all, he said, Sfar HaLazakeh. That Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, what he's already started to tackle the issue, right, in the 1930s, 1940s, that the Beit Yitzchak, the Red Yitzchak, already in 1900, right, 1910, he already said that his mold is there. I don't find it convincing, but he made that ruling. The Jewish people accepted it. Sfar HaLazakeh, the elder already has ruled. We accept that ruling. Or, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests that people have become confused. If you're going to say that you can turn on electricity if there's no heating filament, right, and that's okay, but with a heating filament, that's missing. The rest of people are going to become confused, and therefore, completing the circuit, the Jewish people have decided we don't want to take a chance. Even I'm confused. I saw a heating filament, that's for us, right? There's no heating filament, and lo and behold, I came to Sharon, Massachusetts, and I found that it is. So, the bottom line is we don't do it, but here's the question. The Chazon Ish, which of these models do we accept? The bottom line, we say possible, why? Do we accept the Chazon Ish model or the Beit Yitzchak model? What's the difference? The Beit Yitzchak says it's what kind of a prohibition? It's a drabanan, right? Molded generator, like molded bread, it's a drabanan. The Chazon Ish, a rabbinic prohibition. The Chazon Ish says that it is a Torah prohibition, right? That's a big, now it's always a big issue, okay? Go right to drabanan, right? What do we follow? So that it was, from my speaking to various rabbanim and hearing various rabbanim from different groups, it seems they've agreed that it is a rabbinic prohibition. Now, if you think this is not a big deal, this is really a huge deal. I will give you a case where it just illustrates why it's a big deal. I was once at the home of someone in our shul. Goes back about 20 years. He was about 88 at that time. I think he was struck with cancer, unfortunately. Today was a hot summer day. Didn't have the air conditioning, it was Shabbos, didn't have the air conditioning on. And they asked me, can you turn on the air conditioning? And I said, yeah, you know, so to make the whole comfortable. Right? They just feel a person to make them comfortable. So violating this is up on, right? To ask a non-Jew to turn it on. No problem, right? So the problem was the three different defined a non-Jew wasn't working. So what to do? Here I have an old gentleman sick and he's uncomfortable on Shabbos, very uncomfortable on Shabbos. What do I do? So what I did was I turned on the air conditioner myself, right? The Gemara said I turned it on myself. Why? Because it's saying, with a shimmy, right, but since at the end of the day, it's a misadrapana, and the need of someone who was very sick, so therefore, since it's a misadrapana, would be okay, yes.
Did you
say that it was a yeshbosakana
or
a I was plugging that, okay, but he was a I would say yeshbosakana. It's cancer, but the difference, it wouldn't put him in deathly danger, it would be uncomfortable. But the Mishabura said to take care of the ancillary needs of someone whose life is in danger, you can violate Surya Bhana.
Could you also say that because of that,
so
can we say that if we're in danger, so
to say? Yeah, some of the Rabbanans say that, yeah.
That's correct. It's interesting.
I thought that this is 2 seconds about it, but I love this example. Schopenhauer talks about the non-Jews to do work for us and Shabbos for a fit person. Schopenhauer says, well, when it comes to the cold, everyone's sick. Why is that mentioned in the regular time of Schopenhauer? People do, they were in cooler lands in the time they were, and the time was come up, right? But never was there any mention that everyone's sick when it comes to heat, right? From our generation, right, some of our fathers started saying, well, we're sick when it comes to heat, I guess, you know. Times change, I guess we become more sensitive and we can't deal with the heat anymore. It's because they ask the non-Jews to turn on the electricity. Again, it's really, not just to make a little more comfortable, but someone is really oppressive. Okay? Really an oppressive situation. There can be other huge impact why it's a drop run on, but it's important for many areas to understand that electricity with the heated filament is a tall prohibition or a thin prohibition when there is no heated filament. Yeah.
Yes, that would be okay. That's true.
But since we didn't need to call it in the first place, that's true. But since I couldn't find the dark, that's what allowed me to do that. Okay.
So now we've done two topics. We're getting to the oven. We're getting there slowly but surely. But before we get to the oven, we have to go to the refrigerator. Someone's down in the refrigerator, right? What are we going to do about that? Yes, go ahead. Yes, I'm happy to. Oh, you want me to, in general, you want me to translate? Okay, good. Will do. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, growing up in Brooklyn, you know, Hebrew was kind of like I don't even know what thing was in Hebrew anymore, so thanks for reminding me. Okay, let's go. Opening up a refrigerator when a motor is not running, right? So the big issue starts to become when people have refrigerators, right? Someone's on an auto refrigerator. They just don't open this, right? From the relative in America, right? What? Oh, my goodness. When you open it up, the motor goes on. So what's the deal? Are you allowed to open on the shower? Are you not allowed to open on the shower? Anybody ever been, raise your hand if you've been to a home where they're not there and they don't open up a refrigerator unless the motor's running? Right? You know people do that. So let's try to understand a little bit of what's the background of this. Okay. So now, basically, just on the physics, the way I understand from Shlomo Arba is that when you open up the refrigerator, the room temperature will come into the refrigerator, right? Sugars the compressor to go on to cool down the refrigerator. Right? Shlomo Arba beautifully explains this, the whole page explains the refrigeration cycle. Right? And clearly mastered the physics. Now, the thing is that the result is not immediate. Just because you opened up the refrigerator door, the impact of what you did from opening up the door, that is not going to be felt immediately. What is this analogous to? This is analogous to a Gemara from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach field, and let's see if we can fill in the analogy for me. A Gemara connection, and I am dying in the base. And I must tell you that when our ancestors were learning this Gemara, I bet you they're looking at each other and thinking, why is the Gemara talking about this? Maybe case. Listen to this case. Gemara speaks about somebody who, direct and indirect ways, of killing people. Now, the Gemara is not advocating doing this, but it's talking about when would there be a death penalty admitted, when not administered, when it would not be. The Gemara speaks about the following case, that there's a very strong torrent of water that is being held back by a dam, which the Gemara calls Bitkazimai. Okay? If you release, okay, let's say you tie up somebody, I don't recommend, don't do this, but let's say you tie somebody up, and you put them right in front of the dam, and you release the dam, and the water comes out, torrent comes down, drowns the guy, right? Is that considered to be an act, is that direct murder, what do they call it, first degree murder, right?
Or is it a second degree? Is it indirect? Is it grama that's a key phrase? Is it grama that's indirect? No death penalty is indirect. Not permitted, but it is not no death penalty. So the Gemara says like this. It depends how quick the impact is. What's the connection between your reaching the dam and the person and the water reaching the victim? If the water reaches the victim immediately, it's considered to be direct death. If there is a delay in time, let's say the person, you know, the dam's over here, and the person's over here, right, and it takes a while to get from over here to over there, right, that's considered to be caught. Same, considered to be indirect, that is gross. Okay, I can imagine, our ancestors were sitting along that Gemara, like, what sort of crazy case is that? But how is the refrigerator very similar to this? What is it? Money, what are you doing when you're opening, right, you're opening up the refrigerator door. What are you doing? You're allowing the, right, you're allowing the room temperature air to whoosh into the refrigerator. It comes in and has impact. But this is the way impact, that is considered to be grubba, it is considered to be indirect. Right? Now, what do we do about this? So, two things. Grama on Shabbos is not an Isidore. A couple things. Grama, indirect action on Shabbos, is not an Isidore. Why? What does the Torah say? In the Esther Sikra, right? Because that's Shmua, right? That's, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. You're not allowed to do melacha. Asi asr, Grama is good. Direct action is forbidden. Indirect is not forbidden on a biblical level. The rabbi has prohibited it, says the Ramah. It's very important. The Ramah says, for the major Ashkenazic authority, remote to Israel, that Ramah is permitted only in cases of serious need. So first of all, this is very nice as Ramah, but only in great need. So every time you need food is a great need. I guess you speak to my kids, it is, but for most people, lots of families, they wait for the motor's running. That's why some families do that. They wait for the motor's running. Not only that. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just wondering,
you're 2,000 ahead of us. Okay? But not only that, one of the great rabbanim who lives in Switzerland, this is C2, the Tshuva Chelkas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Reis. He points out, but this is the normal way for the better refrigerator function. It's not run anymore, but it's the normal function. For example, if you look at one of the 39 categories of labor, one of the 39 halachas is zora, is winnowing. Right? Is that rama? Right? What do you do in winnowing? You throw up, right? You throw up the wheat, and the wind blows it away. Isn't that rama? Right, you throw it up, you know, the wind comes. That's grama. Why should that be forbidden on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, because, at least the way the rest of them stands the Gemara, in Baba Kama, and that's Samuel that I have here on the handout. Because that's the normal way of doing it. That's the normal way of performing the Malacha. This is considered, it is a Torah prohibition. Indirect action, grama, would not be a biblical prohibition if this is an unusual action. If it is a usual action, it is considered to be forbidden. And therefore, already in the 18th century, the Rabbanim dealt with a window. When you put in the grain to the ground, and then the wind is not going, you put in the grain, the wind comes, so why is there a throw mark in their back? That's not enough. No, that's a normal way. If that become the normal way of grinding, it would be a biblical prohibition. Argues the Chelkas Yaakov that this is the normal function of a refrigerator, with grama therefore to be prohibited. That's why there are many who are strict. However, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, right? Never going back to that refrigerator. What does he do? So he comes. I love this. It's a beautiful tshuva. So he starts off, his first step, when you have a questionable issue, what's the first step to a cooler? What do you got to do? The first thing you got to do is say what? It's only an issue. And all it takes is a day within prohibition. Now, What's the issue? You're causing the compressor, the motor to go on. Is that a biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? Based on what we said before, should it be a rabbinic prohibition or a biblical prohibition? Is there a heat? Was that what you think? Well, why? Oh, there's no heat, right? No fire, right? Yeah. Well, what about the cosmic? Well, you're in Bnei Brak, right? They love the cosmic in Bnei Brak, right? So you're not going to say, you're not going to know the cosmic today. But what would the cosmic say about the outside of the refrigerator, about the compressor going on? Would you say that's bona, that's building? That would maybe reflect the refrigerator into the plug. You got the whole cycle starting. But just the cycle going on and off, that clearly maybe is going on and off. Because no doubt it's happening. So that is clearly not a bone ass. What is it? What's the prohibition? We'll say it's you're causing the current flow, you're powering the motor. Okay. At most, what you're dealing with is an isadrabban. That's step number one. Step number two. And again, it's an isadrabban made to be open and shut, start and stop. The refrigeration cycle, and most have been in prohibition. Now, secondly. Here's Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and this is what point you were saying, God, that you were saying before. When is Grava considered to be a prohibition, that is, A, it's rabbinically prohibited, it's not a case of great need, of great loss, right? That's only when you intend to use this Grava. You intend to, for example, the Gemara talks about that you're not supposed to put out a fire. So what if there's a fire? What do you do? But if there's no danger, what do? You make a line of barrel. When the fire hits, with the barrel explodes. So that's the case of great need. But there, you intend on extinguishing. But when you open up the door for the refrigerator, what's your intention? You want what? You have one spicy high school boy. What are high school boys? What do they want? They want food, right? So they want you to open up the food, right? They open up the refrigerator, they want food, that's what their mind is on, and no one's interested in causing the compressor to go on. Yes, it's grama, but it's a drop on them, you have no intention for it. Says the Shlomo Zalman Arbach that it's mutter, not only is it permitted, he says that it is wrong to be strict about this issue because it takes away from Onik Shabbos, right? Isn't that great? So we have a lenient, okay, and that's in general in our community, this is generally accepted. There are those who are, there are those who are strict about this, but generally most people were lenient. I'm close with, you know, being close to Boston, I always have to make a rough elevation, both of us lenient about this. Yes, go ahead.
So among those who are strict, those who follow the combination. So it's a hot day, and the house has got central air conditioning. If you open the door, it's going to warm up. The compressor will turn on. Physically, it's the exact same situation.
That Rosh Zamarov made that argument. Nothing escapes him, okay? He pointed that out. He said, if you're going to say it's up there, then you shouldn't be able to, having to open up the door to your house, right? You make an impact. Well, there you can say it's massage, it's whatever. You can't bring hot food near the refrigerator, right? It's a little impact on the motor, right? So therefore, the bottom line is he is leaning dead. Now we're getting close to oven. We're almost done. Okay. I guess you're afraid there's going to be no more cool. Okay. All right. In any case, let's continue. What about oven? Basically, with the impact of the thermostat on the oven. What about that? So there, you open up the oven, and you're letting in the room temperature air, and then what does that do? It reduces the temperature, and you want to heat up the oven, right? So it's basically the same thing as the refrigerator. So what do you say about that? We're talking about leniency that applies by the that applies by the refrigerator would apply by the oven. What do you think?
Yes.
Why? Right, because they're dealing right, the heated filament. Well, remember, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, by his refrigerator, how do you start off? What's the state point of rabbinic prohibition? But when it comes to an oven, right, you have a, right, you're dealing with a heated filament. So, what do you do about opening up an oven on Shabbos? So here,
And very interesting, my book is what I found, two different approaches. So I'm behind me. Right, from the start here, we haven't gotten to the status quo office. This is something else. This is general opening up ovens. So he says, you have to be strict when it comes to an oven. Well, he has the following top. He has the following strength. He says that you can open up the oven, but only once. When's that? Only to take all your food out. What's the logic there? Because once you got to pull the food out, then the fire that's going to be, that the fire that will go on, that will be caused to go on earlier, because you opened up the door, you couldn't care less about that, it's a little easily, doesn't benefit you in any way, don't care about it. Why? Because all you food is out of the oven. He says, you've got one shot. You open up one on job. Over and up, you're all over and out. That's the difference. There's a sick ratio of easily. An unintended, an inevitable, but unintended act which you have no benefit from. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So by strict, the idea is you knock it down to a rabbinic prohibition again, then you work with the Shlomo Zalman Aruch. Now, Rabbi Rivian, who's written the paper on Hilchos Shabbos, so you have very popular paper we have here as well in Young Israel, Rabbi Rivian says, I don't know. He spoke to a lot of mechanics. In fact, you have two remotes like this, the Grismosa, that's worked out, and I don't know what your experience is, I haven't tested this, Rabbi Ruby has said, no, an oven doesn't work the same way as a refrigerator, because the refrigerator is a lot more sensitive to temperature change than the oven. The oven, you can open up the oven, but it's not necessarily going to trigger the oven to go to heat up more. It's not going to trigger the thermostat. It's not as sensitive as the refrigerator is. So, and therefore, your opening up the oven door is not necessarily going to trigger that, the oven to go on. In most models, says Rabbi Riviat. So therefore, and according to the most refined thing, he said, it would be exactly like the refrigerator, and it would actually be better than the refrigerator. The refrigerator is inevitable that the motor is going to go on early because you open up the door, but the when it comes to the oven, opening up that oven is not going to necessarily trigger the heating element to go on early than it would have otherwise. Yeah?
If you were to try to put very cold food into an oven,
right.
But we're planning to put in a shovel
oven to get the food hot, when you open your refrigerator, you're going to take it out. Right. Okay. So clearly, if you're okay, it's that's an interesting point.
I just put the cold thing in.
Yeah, but you're not trying to. Okay, but you're not thinking about when you're opening up the oven door that, oh, you know, I want to open up the door, let the room temperature in, and heat it up, and get that heating element to go to turn on. Right, I understand, but it's not what your intention when you're opening up the door. You're opening up the door, you want to get the food in. So, I think so.
Okay,
but you're opening the door is going to do it. You're opening the food you put in, opening the door, so it's not intended. It's not intended, yeah.
I just don't understand. If you open the oven, the metal thing
that's
not here,
it's going to escape the earth.
Which means
it's going to, how is it going to go into the, oh no, he's going the other way. He said he'll
leave the oven.
Yeah.
Heat is leaving the oven.
Right.
Definitely
cool. Right.
So,
what's going to turn on quicker? The oven's going to turn on quicker. Okay. Rabbi Irbiya studied food to engineers, and he said, and Rabbi Iyer, that's pointed out also, he has this impression that turning on, opening up the door of the oven, in most models, doesn't seem to trigger the heating element to go on. Okay. Not right away. Okay. It eventually will. Every time you open up, it'll have an impact on it.
It'll have some impact.
Okay.
Opening the door doesn't necessarily trigger the thing, because the thing cycles through,
it would cycle through
rate temperature.
Right.
Just shut off.
Right.
Open the door and take something out and close the door right away.
Right. Now, I understand, it's not going to come, not necessarily going to come on, but it will have impact. Definitely, when someone's on Rabach was writing, it's like, you open it up, it's definitely going to go on earlier. So that's the Machlok, and that's funny, it's the Machlok that's here between Rabbi Heinemann and Rabbi Ribiat, just what the reality is in terms of the oven. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to D, and then we're going to get to our oven. Okay. There was an article in the Jerusalem Post about a year or two ago that spoke about that in the Israeli army, in Saab, that it's become very common that instead of having regular telephones, they use gramophones, right? So gramophone, what's that all about? Indirect now. What's the deal with this? So let's start off with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Another one is similar cases where speaking about direct killing, indirect killing. Here's another one. Let's say you tie somebody up in the middle of the desert. You tie him up at night, right? And you tie him up to chimneys. The next morning, the sun comes out, beats down, and kills him, right? Is that indirect or is that direct? Right, so the Gemara says that is indirect. Now, what if you actually tied him up in the middle of the day? Right, that's direct. That's direct. Even though it's a time delay, right, because the that would kill the person, the sun was present, right, and he did it at night. When the killing agent is not there, there's a delay, right? So the item that was going to kill, the clock after Morocco was not present, and therefore it's considered to be indirect. Okay? Now, let's start talking about... So, again, this is one of these Gemaras that our ancestors learned this going quick. The thing that had what an unbelievable case. But one of the most intriguing things about the technology is that these Gemaras come alive. So suggests the Chazanish to solve a problem which always has been a big issue for quite a number of years, and that is milking cow on Shabbos. So used to just go to use a non-Jew to do it. That's one way where a cook always felt in tradition that was the way it was dealt with. But the Rabbanan named that in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't so simple as to use that solution because they didn't want to use the Arab farmers weren't always so helpful. Now they use Thai farmers, whatever. But what was very commonly done, and even some kibbutzim still do this, is using this similar principle, what's called a soap Kamalogo. Eventually the sun is going to come. What the Chazan is advocating for milking cows? He says, take the pipe, put it on the cow's udder, right, while the electricity isn't going, right? But they the electricity is about to get on the milking machine, it's scheduled to go on 11. Attach the pipe to the udder at 10 a.m., right? It's the same thing. When you do your action, the electricity is not working. Right? So it's like tying up that guy in the middle of the night, then the sun comes out the next morning, right? That's indirect, right? Because the killing agent is not present, right? The electricity is not present. It's grubber. It's a case of great need, right? Because otherwise the cow is going to be in very big trouble if it's not milked. Yes, so that's the Chazanish's classic application of this Gemara Sof Kamalava of Grava. Yes.
You're saying that it's Grava. That doesn't mean it's not an inevitable, it's not an inheritance.
Okay. Sikratia is an inevitable action that if you want to happen, it's forbidden. However, there's a general rule when it comes to Shabbos, Lotasa Kamalava. You're not allowed to do Malacha, the Gemara tells us, but Asiya is forbidden, Grava indirect is not forbidden. It's on a dawn at Torah level. The rabbis permitted it after great need. Here's a great need. You got to, but here's Nikla, you want it to happen. I'm just sorry, my mother said ladies first. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Why?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's true. Okay, but there are, so the farmers would keep with him and say, oh, yeah, came up with a solution. So I talk about it in gray matter once. So you can, but if they found a way to solve it, that would become that problem. Yeah.
I don't understand
all
the
reasons with
the cow.
Okay, so like this. So we are not allowed to, we can't violate Shabbos because I like animals, I really do, I promise you, but we're not allowed to violate Shabbos to save an animal from suffering. We're allowed to ask a non-Jew to help that animal. Oh, to go to waste. Okay. Yeah, some of the reference suggested that as a possibility. Yeah, but you're talking about kibbutzim in the 1940s, 1950s. They're kind of barely making it, and there's a lot of poverty in Israel, so they couldn't do it that way. That's one of the. That's right. That's correct. That's right.
Right, well that's why we find solutions to do it indirectly, so that's why we have solutions to do it, but directly wouldn't be permitted.
Let's
go back to the earlier from under integration.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I knew that there's a difference between this, the drama is more of a two-step process for integration.
Right, well, if grammar is permitted, at least on a total level, or even rabbinically, if it's in case of great need, is permitted because the Torah, even if it's Nicolai, even if you want it to happen. Okay, like with the milking, you want it to happen, Nicolai. Okay? So therefore, even though it's sikresha is forbidden, inevitable actions are forbidden because it's only when it's direct. When it's indirect, not prohibited.
I'm
sorry?
I believe
it's a mistake. It's called a rabbi. Okay. Well, it's just not an accident. It's when it's direct. It's not right. Okay.
It's a practical matter. I don't see how this is related to activation. It's a milking machine. It's not a timer. It's not a system cow. If you're big enough, the dairy farmer, if he was big enough, to have a milking machine. So the dairy farmer I've seen, the milking parlor, might have four or eight positions, and that's about all one person can handle. And the farm might have 50 or 100 or 150 head of cow. And they all need to be milked.
Right, so, right.
Look up your eight cows, and
right.
The machine comes on. You've got another 100 cows that are
wide enough. Okay. Well, they do it. I don't know. You know what? Next time you have a social dinner, go to Kibbutz Be'er Yahu. But it's interesting that they've come full circle. Now, after the Intifada started, they stopped using fewer Arab workers. So then they had Thai workers. They brought workers from Thailand. So they've gone back now to the original solution of using a non-Jew for milking the cows. That's what I've been told. Okay, let's now continue we're going to get to the gramophone. One more example of grama, and we're going to be ready for behind them. Shmir Shabbat Kiel Chatah talks about if you have a timer, your life is scheduled to go on at the very complex. There's a lot of different issues when I'm adjusting the timer. Speech of extended, but mention one rule in the Shmir Shabbat Kiel Chatah. Your timer is going to go on at 10 p.m., right? Or, okay, 10 p.m. at night. It's 10 a.m. in the morning. Your timer is about to go on. But you want it to go on 9 a.m. Shabbat morning, right? You want it to go on earlier, and it is now 8 a.m., right? 8 a.m., you want that timer to go on 9 a.m. instead of 10 a.m., right? So you want, so are you allowed to adjust the timer, right? Says Shmir Shabbat Kiel Chatah, basically, Shalom Zalman Oba, similar idea, that Sokamalovo, that in case of very great need, let's say for somebody who's sick, you can adjust that timer to go on, not all circumstances, but to adjust that timer to go on earlier. The idea is, when you do the action, there's no impact, the electricity is now working, it is like the Sokamalovo, that sun that's going to come out the next morning and come and be down and kill that person, right? And that's the case, the Shnur Shabbat Gil Hatan. Now, let's move on to the Gramathon. The Tzomen, let's talk about the Tzomen Institute. There's an institute, there's actually more than one institute in Eretz Yisrael that deals with harmonizing halakha and technology and trying to find technological solutions to some of halakhic challenges. And one of the challenges is in the military, doctors, police, when they need to pick up the phone. But in most cases, it's not a danger to life. It's essential to use the phone. The unis, they'll say in Hebrew, it's essential, but it's not life-threatening. Okay? So in that case, the Makom Tzomet, the Tzomet Institute, developed a number of items you may have seen here in America, people who use the wheelchair, actually that are powered by Groma, and they worked with the same principle as the Gramophone that they already came out in 1980, that they described in volume 1 of their journal called Tchumen, where they described this type of thing, the Gramophone, which has become almost standard in many parts of the Israeli army. What do? Here's what happens. You pick up the receiver, nothing happens, but there is an electronic pulse that goes off every 10, 15 seconds to detect if that receiver lifted up. The detector sees that the receiver is lifted up, and then the circuit is complete. When you lift up the receiver, there is no electric flow. It's just that so-called kamalavo. Eventually that sun is going to come out. Eventually that pulse is going to come and detect you that you have lifted up the receiver. Gramma, it's permitted in case of great need. Okay? Now we're ready finally we're ready for the Sabbath mode oven. Okay? Give me about 10 minutes and then I'll hope we'll wrap it up by 10. And we'll start wrapping up by 10.
Not the way it's done now. With actual water that's coming in, triggers it, turns it on. You can hear everything that's going on in the thing.
Okay, so let me explain. Now, the gramophone is a specially modified phone. It's not a regular phone, but it's a phone that's modified so that when you pick up the receiver...
I'm saying I don't have to pick up the receiver. Set it on, phone is on. As soon as the voice comes in, it activates the phone, turns the phone on, and it's a loudspeaker. You can hear what's going on.
Right.
You stop speaking, and it has a delay. I don't know what it is. A few minutes, whatever it is,
check
the phone,
when's
the next call?
What kind of a phone are you speaking about? A regular phone, is it?
There are phones like that around,
And you're not completing any circuits when you're speaking?
You're not doing anything.
But you're saying what would you want to speak like
you want to find out if it's an emergency.
Right.
So someone calls in and he stops talking, hello? I got a problem here. Someone just hit me, and I'm bleeding to death. So you answer the phone. You don't want to answer the phone? You just keep quiet. You'll get tired of talking, and the phone will go on.
it's like having a screen machine where you're screening the wall. So they start to leave a message in 5 minutes.
Well, if someone's hurt like that, I got to help them, okay? Okay. All right, here's the deal. Alright, if there's completed circuits in this kind of phone, it would be a problem. But here, any circuits that are completed, there's a delay, and the so-called principle kicks in. Alright, now we're ready to start. Now, I just note one point, we'll get to Rabbi, and then we'll start with Rabbi Hanin. You should know that Rav Soloveitchik does not believe that this is rejects this whole idea he believes in Gemara, of course, in the Gemara, but he believes that the gramophones, he believes that the Chazanish's idea of attaching the cat to the other, that is not considered to be grama, because he points out that the electricity already is in motion when you are acting.
He considers that to be a direct act, it's not an indirect act. We'll leave that for now. Just bear that in mind. But your seems to be, at least in Israel, very popular. Even here, you'll find people using this for electric wheelchairs to operate on Shabbos with grum. Okay, so now let's start with, all this background, now we pulled all that for the last 7 minutes, right? Now we're ready for Rabbi Hyman. Okay, Rabbi Hyman, you have the Sabbath, okay, the question about the Sabbath mode oven, and what happened, and at least this is what I understand from reading Rabbi Hyman's website, reading his response, reading his tshuva. He says, points out as follows. They permit that you can actually press the keypad on the oven to adjust the temperature of the oven to go higher or to lower. On Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov, right? What's the idea? The idea is that it's done with grum. It's done indirectly. That the keypad is, if you touch the keypad, the surface, at least from what I understand from the Heinemann's response, that the circuits are completed immediately, but the temperature is not reduced or not raised immediately. It needs to be detected by an electric pulse, right, to realize that an exchange has been made. There's a delay. This is a delay, like the Sokamawala situation, like the Gromacom, and it's considered, and therefore Rabbi Heinemann says that this is permissible. Yes, go ahead. Okay. That you're not really completing the circuit. Okay, but if there is no delay, if there's no specific halakhic modification, and there's no delay, right, then that's considered a direct action. But the way that SOMA Institute specifically modifies phones is that you pick up the receiver, and it's like 5-10 seconds till they realize that it's off. So there's a delay. That's what makes it a grum. What's that? Okay, but it should be a significant, halakhically it needs to be a significant delay. It needs to be, at least in most cases, should be 5 seconds, 10 seconds, or it should be a significant delay. Now, can anybody, based on what we've said so far, what might be a problem with Rabbi Hyman? Yes, go ahead.
Just to clarify, I think
That's a very critical question, but it's not the only question. I found the contradiction issued by Rabbi Heinemann's response to him and what he wrote from, and what they have an article on conscious cards on the Starkey website, but okay. But even so, I'm going to get to a very key point. Yes, go ahead.
So the second question is, in terms of starting, I'm dealing with a technology that doesn't have it.
Okay, good.
If you like, this is not, you want to open it, the final action is to be able to heat it to the
level, or
you have
something
to that's
correct.
The electrical circuit, going to be more in contact with
me. Right.
Open and closed,
complete the circuit, right, rabbinic prohibition, the temperature being raised, right, so it's being raised, is a total prohibition, right? What's that? Go ahead.
Not a problem on that, you know, we'll have to do something to come here.
Yeah, but you can't start the fire.
In other words, if the fire's not on, you can't start it.
But that's not the issue.
If you're going to raise the temperature, if you raise the temperature, you may turn on the fire. What's that?
We only talk about adjusting temperatures on jumping. No. We're not talking about
setting
it on.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Oh, no, pilots are the long gone. Okay. Then they'll pilot lights. But here, I don't know, but in your great country, but here, I don't know in the UK, but in the United States, pilot lights are kind of verboten. No, they're gone. So let's get an old model. What's that? Right, if it's already on, to raise it, if the electricity is flowing, just make it higher. That's true, that's okay. But if it's not on, if the electricity is not flowing, you're raising and you're causing it to go higher, right, that should be a problem. Okay? This is an oven you leave on to the other, but you want to raise the temperature or lower the temperature. Now, based on what we said, okay, you talked about what the Torah prohibition, what the rabbinic prohibition, what might be the problem? What is Rabbi Heinemann basing himself on? He's basing himself saying that it's grumma, but what do we say about grumma? That if you intend the result, when is it permissible? Only what? Only cases we need. But what is Rabbi Heinemann permitting it? He's permitting it in all circumstances, right? What is he basing it on? He's basing it on a Ramah. The Ramah is E1. The Ramah tells us that you could put a candle in a place where a strong wind will later come. That's so Kamalobo, same principle. That sun's going to come out later. You put the candle out, the wind's eventually going to come, extinguish it. The Ramah says that it is permissible. We have to mention the case of great need. The Mona of Rama, the great commentary to Shulchan Aruch. He asked, hello, Ramah, what happens to the mention of the great need? So the Mishabura cites one answer. The Mona of Mordechai says, maybe, possibly, that when it comes to Yandif, Grama is permitted even not in case of great need. That's what Rabbi Heinemann is relying on. He's relying on that grumma is permitted on Yontif even not in case of great need. Now, why do you suppose, now that you've heard about it in the news, right, that rabbis in Eretz Yisrael came out so strongly against this ruling of Rabbi Heinemann? What might be the problem with that? What is that? Okay, I hear what you say. In other words, it's going to, right, according to this, right, if you have a Makom Shomet, right, exactly. Right, when do we allow Grumma? Right, for the Israeli army, for a doctor, right, for the police. Right, for you can just say that you can start using phones, Grumma phones on young adults, right, and all of it's based on an extra in the Mishabura, the possibility in the Mishabura. It really, literally just, it was just cause a problem for Yonto. And also the question we thought about was not so clear is the immediate impact immediately, if you're completing circuits. So I even said, look, it's not, there's no impact, you don't see anything immediately, but you can sense it, it has impact, you can sense that's sensible to the naked eye. So basically, what I'm trying to get across, the bottom line from all this, is that I share Rabbi Sender's assessment of Rabbi Heinemann's ruling with this lens, that Sarah Ian, I'm not exactly sure where Rabbi Heinemann is coming from, and I quite more understand why the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim here, have come out strongly, and I know I asked one of my rabbis from YU, Rabbi Willis, who I asked one of my talmidim was learning with him at Marashah this summer. I asked him, what does Rabbi Willis say? He's got a call 3 hours before the shiur. Rabbi Willis thinks it's a problem. So I think most of Rabbanim didn't go along with Rabbi Heinemann for one of the two reasons, either because of the concern of the circuit that completed immediately, or because grumma is permitted only in case of great need, only for the Israeli army, or let's say for the refrigerator when you have no intention. But here you have intention to use the grumma to raise the fire, and this would be a problem. Waiting for it. Yes, good. And then.
Why?
Okay, a lot of people are asking that. I don't know. That's a mystery to me. I don't understand. It's been around for a while. Why the delay in reaction? You know, I don't know. I what's that? And hit Israel. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why this. No, I think my wife has one of those movies. If you have an next one, give it to me. We'll bring it on.
I'm not really sure what the discussion
is going to happen. We have a city whereby you can put food on London, any other food you're going on, and then you can set it up, and if it's boiling or something's going wrong, you can test that, there are really content there.
Right.
I don't understand
what this is about.
Okay, because it's electric power. Okay,
well,
I think maybe we'll end with this
because
the hour is late.
Okay, just
about
the last question.
I think it's talking more about
All right. So I'm not running anywhere. If you want to talk to me, I'll be here trying to field questions. In any case, thank you very, very much for coming out on a hot evening to talk about a controversial topic. If you're interested in Gray Matter, let Rabbi Clapper know. He's right by them.
How could you get it so much? You spent so much time in the people. You spent years talking to me. And when I said I wasn't safe, I upset me that everybody owns one, and now
I really hope that came across in today's show. I wanted to get that across. Everyone, I have a really big respect for the Heinrich. I really do. I don't understand where you're coming from this. I don't understand. I tried to get on my computer to engage with Jim for an hour. You can download from the UK website. I wasn't able to download it.
For me, something an underlying issue that bothers me is the tendency to want to make things difficult. A similar situation arose with stock price.
Right.
Everybody thought these were great, and then somebody decided, oh, when you take the thing out, it's like uncovering a fire, and
I'm
going to go into the future a little bit.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, I know we
have a computer.
Yes.
And the computer is programmed so it recognizes my voice,
right.
Recognizes my commands.
Right.
I walk into the house and all I do is talk to it.
Right.
There are already cars like that. Some of the new cars
are
about
that.
The
vice president for all these things.
Yeah, a lot of talks about must have been villain.
Well, it's not only that. They talk about with an animal. That is, what if, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while threatening? What if you don't actually put a muzzle? What if you actually speak? What if you actually, with your voice, you can intimidate the animal to stop eating? So that already is a problem. So that would be a similar issue. So the voice
is. Yeah. The computer is not an animate substance.
I understand, but in other words, you're taking the truth as being action. That's the problem. So in other words, just like you're not allowed to turn off, you're not allowed to complete a circuit, but you can complete a circuit with your voice, voice carriage block circuit. Okay, so whatever reasons for completing the circuit is prohibited,
you can't say that. I have no action at all that I've taken to cause anything to happen.
Right. So the Gemara considers the action you do with your voice to just be an action.
I go 50 years from now where my brain waves can do it without even speaking.
Okay, that's
interesting. The action of Rabbanan, and most scientists, and not one of them, because I am a scientist, do not understand what electricity is, so we can't tell you what it is.
Right.
One of the things that irks me, not so much about electricity, is that Rabbanan come along and do nothing but prohibit.
How many things are I permitted tonight? We have solutions for Bravo, it's phone. So we have, permitted. So I'm just saying, this, okay, we got, so I want to be fair here. Okay, I get a lot of weed industries over here. I mean, I said I didn't think the staff showed up and was okay to turn on and off. We gave a lot of okay.
But still, you can't get a form that says, if I don't understand it, I'm not permitted.
I don't think I said that.
Well, you may not have said it, but you're going there.
When did they say that?
Huh?
When did they say that?
When electricity first came about.
Right.
It started with that. I don't know what it is. It's got to be forbidden.
But we understand intuitively, and we understand, everybody understands that if you have sound, you can't have sound with using the phone.
Yeah, well,
and using,
I see the more rationality, but I can't see the rationale against the kitchen.
Okay, that's something else. Give me a...
There's no fire there.
What's that?
There's no fire there.
What's that?
In kitchen.
Not only that, there's a sex... of Jewish people who permit it to.
We are. Plenty of desire and plenty of that.
Probably majority of the people who are observant.
Right. Is there supposed to be two types of Jews?
Sure. 12 tribes.
There's not 12 different Jews.
Lots of different styles.
No.
I can't.
That's what I don't like about this business coming along.
Hey, our parents did this.
We got to do the same thing.
Why?
Right.
that's what I would get. So where do we draw the line and say when is something visible to recognize an issue or what is it?
That's a tough issue. That's not true. Basically, it has to set the way to draw a line. It has to be some extension, or otherwise some human extension. When you're based...
Is Truman nicer than
human extension? No, not yet.
You know what I suggest? They want to suggest to Sir Alexander. Go and get yourself and make a big place.
Thank you for having me.
You've got the best class of the evening, though.
Okay. That's the real challenge.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not visible to the naked eye. So there's Rabbanan self, and it appears like a people, even though it's not a sign of the right side. It's Rabbanan. So when Rabbanan said an abstract tikkun like that, is also what they proclaim the answer. They didn't proclaim the answer that we can't create our own
issue. Limited to that? Well, some of the other things would be that he was claiming the issue.
And then when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you want to say,
what did you say that the Sardinian do that's different?
Well, they say split must fall over Rosh Hashanah. All hell, they say split.
Oh, that doesn't bother me. I don't say it at all.
Okay. They stay for an hour every night. So you're a real party. You're up every night in the Elul time, you know, from 1:30 to 1:30 today. It takes an hour. That's longer than ours. So
just start directly, Sender, because we're a family. The diners and ourselves and breakfast are just together. And I have a Shabbat mode, which is a program.
Right.
But now, we don't cook the new electric heat. So that's a good one.
That overcomes the one that we're going to have. Brother Sender?
It's better, it avoids its issue of completing the circuit. But it's still raising the fire.
But if it's on the Shabbos mode, is it doing it?
It's doing it indirectly.
The difference is that in your case, it's on all the time.
It is on all the time?
Yes. If you have a knob with your safety and you're leaving that, currently it's on there all the time.
Oh, okay. So it's on all the time.
You just accept the strength of the country. Changing the distance essentially is always current. But there's always current flowing.
Sorry, Dr. Joshua Weiser.
That's good.
I think we'll be make sure that everyone
Did you study under a machine religion?
I had the last 2.5 years. You must have did you know him a little bit? Did you get a chance to
I met him a few times. I worked for Yeshiva University through college. In my circumstance I couldn't go on.
Did you, are you from the Boston area? Did you meet him?
No, I was back when I was in New York. I went to Yeshiva from college, and I started trying to come to Yeshiva. Good. From college, I was 16. Couldn't score that. I went out to work. I got half my salary for my mother. I decided that, supported by my father and my man. I don't know how she really loved him or whatever it was, but she felt she was a burden on me and my mother and my husband. Yeah. The financial burden lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
How long have you been living here in Santa?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been living in Santa?
Oh, short time, 2.5 years.
Who were you living before?
In Franklin, Massachusetts. I lived there from 39 years.
Wow. That's a nice community here. So you came back to
school? Yeah, there's an afternoon. My wife died 12 years ago. And that's just the time of an afternoon to move here.
You got your family.
Huh?
Your family.
Well, I know a lot of the people here. Before here, you know, my wife still alive. This question to make up my mind. It was just not working, but I got so sick, couldn't move. I was in the house. And I moved out of the house for about 5 days, and nobody came to see, nothing. I said, this is crazy. I could die, and nobody knows what to do.
made up my mind. It's a chance to move in.
Good.
Expand the community.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Good. Good, good, good. I'm always so drunk.
Hashem should get send you many, many good things.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm an old man.
I think it's still recording.